commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust. Verse 4, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the Father fell asleep, the Father's plural fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for your chance to teach. Bless now in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we are now in the last chapter of 2 Peter, which will conclude is I can do what I've always done. I'll compile the lessons and put them in book form, and they'll be available. And I don't know yet if I'll attach them because they're few in number, 14 in number, maybe time I'm finished, maybe 16, to the book that we put together on 1 Peter, and just call it 1 and 2 Peter, as we did Timothy, 1 and 2 Timothy. So that way it's available for a handout or further studies or things like that. So here in the last chapter of 2 Peter, 2 Peter, the very epistle itself, and we'll comment on the terminology in a moment, but in the epistle of 2 Peter, there are four parts, as we laid out when we began the chapter, so it's probably good to mention it again at the end. Number one, he's talking about Christian virtues and how to walk and live for Christ in chapter 1 down through verse 14, and we won't go back. It's just an introduction. Second division in the book that we see is the scriptures are exalted, as you're going to find with every writer. They are going to exalt the scripture, so we would expect nothing less than from the man Peter. And from chapter 1, verse 15 through 21, he is simply saying you can trust the word. He's exalting the word of God. So we pick up on that as teachers and preachers and understand that, yes, we could tell stories, we could do any of a number of things, magic tricks, I guess. But the thing that's going to have the impact is the Word of God. And so we're going to stay and use the Word of God, stick with the book, we might say. So that's the second, let's say, breakdown in the book. He exalts the Scriptures, exalting the Scriptures. Then thirdly, as we spend a couple weeks on this, he definitely lines out the apostate teachers and preachers. By the time you hit chapter 2 and go all the way down through verse 22, that's all it's about. It's about false teachers, false preachers, and that's one of the classical questions of the day. Brother Phil or Pastor, why do we have these people that believe this and they go to church, have their building, have their church, have their all their stuff, and then we have this group over here, they believe this. And it's not the same as what they believe. And this guy over here is teaching repent and be baptized for salvation. This person here is saying, look, take the sacraments and be saved. And what are the sacraments? Well, the wine and the bread of the communion table and be saved. And there are churches wholly given to those doctrines. And you say, well, where are we at in that? Well, we're over here with the epistle, especially Paul's teachings, Peter's teachings, and the teachings in the early church right on through. And we're over here, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You say, well, why is all this? Well, he talks about, that's why chapter 2 is about false teaching. Why? So that the true believer will know somebody's trying to pull the wool over your eyes. And look, just stay with the book. You don't have to stand up and make a spectacle of yourself. You know, I know everybody's been around somebody you just don't care for. You either had to work around them or with them. And what do you find yourself doing? And kind of moving off over here. let them go on their happy way over there. I'll stay over here. And we don't say anything. We just kind of come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. All right. So chapter 2 is all about that. Now we're in chapter 3, the fourth division in the book, as we'll end with this, a very good inning. And it's about the second or the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 1 all the way down through verse 18, he's going to bring up and talk about the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's focused primarily on the second advent. Now, a prelude to the second advent is the very first part of it, which we know as the catching out of the saint or the rapture of the church. So he's going to talk about the second advent. So with that kind of thinking, Peter was well-versed in Scripture, and he's at the end of his life now. He was very mature in the Lord. He knew what he was talking about, very familiar with the Old Testament, and an apostle in his own right. And when he first was called and first saved, he was to the Jew. He was very concerned about the nation of Israel, his very brethren, and if they're going to get saved or not, if they're going to accept Christ as their Savior or reject Christ as their Savior. And they ultimately rejected Christ as a nation. And you see Peter still trying to deal with the Jews for the Jews, but he's presenting a resurrected Savior to the nation of Israel. Take your Bible and come on back with me, if you would, to Isaiah. Turn to Isaiah chapter 2. And the prophet here is not silent about what Peter's talking about, Isaiah 2. And as Isaiah chapter 2 is dealing with the promises to Israel in the last days, or for the last days. And then he talks about the chastisement of Israel actually before the blessing of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Isaiah 2, 1 down through 5, Isaiah 2, verse 6. But I want you to come all the way down to about verse 12. That's what the context is. Watch what he says, verse 12. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon every one that is proud and lofty, and upon every one that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. You say, what's going on? There Isaiah is prophesying about the second return of the Lord Jesus Christ, but before that happens, there's going to come chastisement. There's going to come, if you please, tribulation. Revelation chapter 1, 2, 3. By the time you get to Revelation chapter 13, you're full focus into that thing. So Peter's talking about what Isaiah said. And in Isaiah chapter 2, verse 12, it's a reference to that second coming of Christ. And if you have an old Scofield Bible, and I rarely say too much about this, but if you have an old Scofield Bible, it's probably one of the better ones. Now, there's other ones out there, don't get me wrong, and I'm not selling Bibles today, absolutely. But the Scofield is probably one of the oldest ones out there, and I don't agree with everything. Nobody does, says. But he has some pretty good information on, you know, the very fact of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's of good value if you have this particular Bible and you run the verses. In verse 12 of Isaiah 2, he says, day of the Lord, and in parentheses, of Jehovah. And verse 10, he gives you those references all the way down through verse 22, which we didn't read the whole context. But you can pick up quite a few pointers just from the Scofield notes on the second coming of the Lord for the Jews. So back to our text, and we want to stay current in our text. He says, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, is in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. And let me not go too far there, but in verse 1, this second epistle. Now, I made reference to the very fact that it was an epistle, and I guess a good question is, what in the world's an epistle? We don't use that today. What is that? And it's not hard. One dictionary. Look it up. I wasn't good at doing those kinds of things when I was younger, like 10, 12, 16, 18. I had too many other fish to fry, Brother Steve. I was putting motors on bicycles and picking up pop bottles so I could buy bubble gum down at the store. Important stuff. I didn't care about vocabulary words. Ted's shaking his head. Oh. But since I got a little older, if I wanted to know what a word meant, I went and looked it up. And then I learned a lot about that. I got my education after high school, amen? So the second epistle, called an epistle, which means a letter. The word epistle means a letter and is mentioned about 15 times in the New Testament. So it's a Bible word and a Bible term. It's a good term. And so we use the term. And somebody said, well, I'm going to write you an epistle. We wouldn't say that today. So I'm going to write you a letter. And so an epistle is connected more with scriptural things than just a friendly letter as we had in school. So the second epistle, 2 Peter 3:16, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them to these things, he's talking about Paul now and referencing Paul's writings, and I'm quoting 2 Peter 3:16, you're right there close, and he says, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, talking about Paul, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, or they wrought in it or work in it, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. They wrestle with it, man, and it undoes them. And you say, what? Well, he wrote some pretty hard things, man. And when you get over there and say, should I come to you with a rod? You think, I don't think I want to know about them. What's he mean by that? But that's the epistle, the writings of God. Verse 1, he says, in whom which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. That's a phrase worthy of a few moments. He's writing to believers because he says, beloved. So that's to you and I as we read this. It's directly to you and I. So when you look at that, in both which I stir up your pure minds, do you realize that our minds have to and should be stirred up for the things of God? We got so much on our minds today, and there are just certain things that will stir you up, you know. Now, you can look at me and tell me high on that list is probably pork chops. Nick, fried chicken. I smell good cooking, man. I get stirred up. But now that's in the physical sense. And I believe Peter's talking about the spiritual sense. You ever been in a church service where you get in on the teacher, the preaching, and man, you're kind of sitting up on, we would say, up on the edge of the seat, wondering what's this guy going to say next? I mean, what's he going to show us next in the Bible? And what does it do? It whets your appetite for spiritual things and brings you along. It kind of stirs you up. And you say, man, I can't wait till the next one. And you say, what is that? That's the spiritual side of things. But we get so wrapped up in things. Our mind, you ever heard this, gets wrapped around so many things. And we get entangled and entwined into the web of the world. And we don't have time for the things of God. And yet when I thought about that, he says, stir up your pure minds. Our minds aren't pure. We're thinking this, we're thinking that, and a little of that. And that's not real spiritual, is it? And we're very capable. We're human. I'm not making an excuse for a sinful life of thinking wrong, but just in reality. So here, So stir up your pure minds. It wouldn't be bad for any one of us as we come to church. Oh, Lord, purge my mind. Gird me up with the word of truth. Clean my thought pattern up and forgive me and get me right. I want to be zeroed in this morning. I want to get a little something. And if we do that when we come into church, I think Brother Jack used to say, just check your devils at the door. Okay, and I'm looking around like, okay, what's following me here? And they'll get you thinking on everything but that. You'll get critical, you'll get argumentative, you'll get defiant, you'll get, yeah, amen. I mean, you say, look, Brother Phil, that's the same suit he wore last Sunday. Well, I'm glad you can tell. I can't remember what suit I wore last Sunday or last Sunday before that. I've only got about 3 or 4 suits, and 2 of those 4 suits I can get buttoned, and the other 2. So, yeah, I probably did wear it. You see, we get to thinking about, oh, did you see what she wore to church? What in the world was she thinking? I don't know. I'm trying to figure out what you're thinking. Amen. Okay, go back to teaching, Brother Phil. Quit preaching. All right. In both which I stir up your pure minds. Could I say this today? Most people that walk through that door on a Sunday morning aren't of a pure mind. You say, they're not, Brother Phil? No. Why, it's untelling what they're thinking about. Would to God they would. So we get a little idea on how to prepare pure minds by way of remembrance. And really think, really something that'll really sober you up real quick is remember where God brought you from. When you're a little critical of brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, remember where he snatched you from. The very pit of hell itself. One, for the grace of God, you were dangling out over that place because of the sinner that you are or were, or very fact you were just born into this world. You're a sinner, no God in you, and you needed to be saved. So that's just a wonderful thing. So to stir you up, your mind has to be right. And the thought or the phrase, pure mind, that's what he used there. It's impossible to stir up someone whose mind is set against it. It's a mindset. Brother, you let somebody get an attitude about something, you ain't going to change their mind. They'll look right, they'll argue black sheep white looking right at it. Huh? Say, what is that human side of things? Or thinking the wrong thing. They'll come to church thinking the wrong stuff. Well, I know Brother Phil hates me. I know he does. Did you hear that tone he has? That's right to me. No, it's not. True answer that I love you. I probably prayed for you this week. I got a whole list of you guys, among other folks. But anyhow, Romans 7:23, Paul addresses something like this. Romans chapter 7 is a good chapter for the person dealing with conflict between flesh and the spirit. But in verse 23, he says, "But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind." So there is something that wars in your mind. He says, "And bringing me into captivity of the law of sin." Yeah, and it's sin. "Which is in my members," which not only trickles down in your mind, the Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. If you're thinking this, the next thing you know, I'm thinking I need a drink. Oh. Then you're doing it. And not just with water, with sin, adultery, fornication, lasciviousness. Check out the whole list over there. It's very flattering in Galatians chapter 5. Yeah, very flattering. So there's a war going on in verse 24 of Romans chapter 7. "Oh, wretched man that I am." Stop right there. Most people do not have that idea about themselves. Man, I'm looking pretty good today, man. I looked in the mirror this morning. I tell you what, I don't look 72. You idiot, you look 82. That's the other truth side of me, the Holy Spirit talking to me, Ted. Of course, I didn't think that. I get up and look in the mirror and say, oh my goodness, turn the light off. Hair sticking every which way. More hair growing out of my nose and off my ears than on my head, huh? Boy, it's something getting old. Brother Matt don't have that problem nowhere. He only made a few perfect heads, and I know you bald guys have them. Amen. "Oh, wretched man that I am." Man, people can't get past that. Man, I sure look good. I got a little of that cover girl on. I'm looking good. No, you ain't, honey. Every old bar needs a coat of new paint once in a while, and you're right in that. Okay, stop right. Don't preach none of that, Brother Phil. You're fake. Fake eyelashes. Don't get me started. Fake lipstick, fake hair, fake. No, don't get me started. "Oh, wretched man that I am." Say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the mind and the stuff the mind gets on, gets locked into, and get the thinking. And the next thing you know, you have deceived yourself into thinking that you're something that you're not. And the guy teaching to the guy preaching couldn't reach you with a CNI dog and a search warrant. Couldn't get you, couldn't find you. So here, verse 25 of Romans 7, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, I could stop there and preach about a week, amen. So then with the mind, here we go, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Brother, you get your mind working on the law of sin, you're going to be in trouble because it ain't going to be long to your hands and your feet and your tongue and everything about you, your physical body, your members are going to be doing that thing. So when Peter comes back to our text and he says, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Man, it's hard to stir people up. You say, why? They're not of pure thought, man. They've all got a preconceived idea about you or what you wore or how you sound or, wow. Romans 8 and 5, Paul says this. In Romans 8, you're right there in Romans 7. But in Romans 8, he says in verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind. There's that word again, mind. The things of the flesh. You know, it's real hard for folks to discern what's flesh and what's spirit. Hold up right there. This isn't in the lesson. I didn't write this down. I don't think I wrote it down. If you take your Bible over to John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, 2, 3, and 4, and 5. He says that we're to try the spirits. Do you know, the 1 John 4 and 2 says, you know that out there, in church, in the world, anywhere you want to go on the face of this earth, there's only four spirits talked about. And we struggle with that. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 2, he talks about the Holy Spirit of God. So there's one. Number two, he talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, if Paul talked about this, if you want them, he talked about the spirit of man. So there's the spirit of man. You got the spirit of God, the spirit of man. Now, you with me? I'm going to show how messed up things are when you go to teach and preach the word of God. And then thirdly, in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 21, there's the spirit of an animal. Yeah, I'm talking about the four different types of spirit out there. If you're a human being, you have a spirit of man in you. If you're a woman, an Indian, I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're red, yellow, black or white, purple, green, sartu. It doesn't matter. You still have the spirit of man in you. If you're an animal, I don't care if you're a porpoise, a dog, a cat, a chicken. Yeah, I know some of you have been having chicken for lunch. But you have the spirit, if you're a live animal, you have the spirit, not you, but they have the spirit of an animal, not the same as the spirit of God, not the same as the spirit of man. And then there's one more. Oh, you guessed it. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 through 6, that's the spirit of the devil, known as the spirit of Antichrist. There's only four spirits talked about in the word of God. Now, when you come to church, this is not in the Sunday school lesson. I've been studying. When I study, I get in trouble. When you come to church, there's four spirits going on there. Now, you can rule out one for sure. You say, I can? Yeah, the animal spirit. It's not here. Now, if somebody starts barking like a dog or baying that light there, I might give you quarter. But most cats and doggies and goldfish and whatever, maybe you have an iguana or a boa constrictor. I don't know. Whatever you have, it's at home. We don't have that animal. So we can rule out the spirit of animal. Say, well, what other spirits are there? There's the spirit of man, there's the spirit of God, and there's the spirit of Antichrist. Now, if you're a rebel and you're against everything and you proud yourself in being a rebel, that's the same as witchcraft. Brother, that's the spirit of Antichrist. When you got somebody that has rebel in them, wants to stand up and rebel against the word of God, the church of God, the man of God, you right there's what's wrong with that bird, and you're not going to reach it with the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. So the animal's out. We know who the Antichrist is. Now the Holy Ghost of God. That's who we say we want to see show up, the Holy Ghost. We wish the Holy Spirit of God. Now if you're born again, saved believer, you collectively here are possessed by the Holy Spirit of God because he indwells the believer. We have that in John 16. We have that 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We have that 1 John chapter 4, verse 2. The Holy Spirit of God inside you. Say, what are you talking about? So there's only one other spirit left, the spirit of man. You say, well, that don't cause any trouble, does it? It caused more trouble than you think. And Paul put his finger on it right over there. He said, of a pure mind. What was he talking about? That mind is the inner thinking of a person. That's the inner seat of the man. What's going on in your mind? And the devil knows that, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, in whom the God of this world, now that's the devil for anybody struggling with that, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of those which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of God should shine in unto them. You say, what is it? The devil knows how to blind you of the right things, and he starts in the mind. If he can get you thinking something defiant, if he can get you thinking something rebellious, if he can get you thinking, well, look what they got on the day. If he can get your mind going like that, God won't reach you. He can't reach you. You say, why? You've been blinded. So when we pray, you know what we pray? You know what I pray? God bind every devil and every demon and every spirit of man that is in opposition to your word. You say, what are you going to do? I'm going to exalt the word of God is what I'm going to do. You say, why? Because the Holy Spirit isn't going to use the spirit of man. I don't care how good you sing. I don't care how good you dance or whatever it is you do for the Lord. He isn't going to bless that. But he is going to bless the word of God and the things of God. So I pray, God, bind the devil, bind the spirit of man, bind anything that would stand in opposition against you, that if there's a lost soul in the service, they can get saved. Man, I done went back to preaching, man. How'd I get on all that? Romans chapter 8, verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. You can depend on that good saved brother or that good saved sister operating in the energy of the flesh when they start doing fleshly things. Whether they're singing, whether they're testifying, whether they're teaching. Well, I don't care playing an instrument. I don't care what their flesh. You say, well, God bless that? Doesn't bless it. Matter of fact, it brings a holy hush over the service. It grieves the Holy Ghost of God. It quenches the very Spirit of God. Been on some of that on Wednesday night. So here, for to be carnally minded is death. You realize most Christians walk through that door on Sunday morning are pretty carnal minded, pretty worldly. They've been doing the things of the world, been thinking the things of the world. They're planning right now how much they can cook for Thanksgiving or eat for Thanksgiving. Like me, I'm planning on how much can I get away with eating without gaining 50 pounds. But carnal minded. But to be spiritually minded, here we go, spiritually minded is life and peace. But yet we say we want peace, we say we want life, but we want to keep on thinking like the world and being carnally minded. Guess what? It's not going to work. And that's the confusion that comes along with it. And guess what? God's not the author of confusion. Watch. Verse 7, Romans chapter 8. Because the carnal mind, and he's talking in the context of a saved person, somebody that isn't thinking right, somebody that's so worldly. I mean, they want worldly stuff. They want to do worldly things. They never think about spiritual things. They've never set their affection on things above. They've never thought on these things, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever. They don't think on that stuff at all. They're thinking about boats and cars and trinkets and junk and food and music and entertainment. They're thinking of all that stuff. You say, what is that? That's the carnal mind. And so because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And then when somebody like a preacher says, well, you know, I don't know if that thing's right or not, brother. Well, how? You don't have you. You can't discern the Spirit. You're preaching all the time that, those signs and gifts passed away. Well, if you understand your Bible, that sign didn't pass away. The sign gifts passed away, the apostolic ones, but not some of the other things. And discerning of spirit. You say, well, how you discern the spirit? With the word of God. If it lines up to the word of God, it's of God. If it doesn't line up with the word of God, throw it out. Not right. So here, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Somebody gets up, say, man, I sure got some talent. Well, save it. And they want to show off their skill set and their talent. Flesh. Well, God gave it to me. Okay, maybe God did, maybe God didn't. Let's say he did. Then use it as unto the Lord and not unto your own glory. Amen. And by the way, that lost heathen hottentot down over there in music wonderland someplace, he's got all that talent and everything. Who gave him his talent? Well, God had to have, because it's good. All good things. Look, don't arrest the scripture to your own private interpretation. The devil was the anointed cherub that covereth, and he was all goofed up in music, and he can give a little skill set too. And if you don't believe that, turn to Revelation chapter 13. You don't have time this morning. I'm almost out of time. But he's going to give life to an image over there. And at the sound of the music, you know where I'm going. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now, I'm happy that we have balance in our church. Thank God for that. But there's a lot of churches out across the land. There's no balance. It's off the hook, man. And it goes crazy. You say, why? It isn't pure mind. You say, what are they doing? Well, you realize the very word church just means assembly. I don't have time, but Acts chapter 7, verse, 26, 27, 28, 29, somewhere over in there, he talks about the church that was in the wilderness and is in reference to the children of Israel wandering around over there in the desert under the man Moses. Now, it wasn't a church like a New Testament church like in the book of Acts or the book of Matthew, but he calls that assembly of people, he calls it a church. Can I say this? All churches ain't preaching Jesus. So if you have an assembly of people, saved or unsaved, well, the Masonic Lodge is an assembly. That's a church. The Eagles and the Elks, that's a church. You say, what, a church? Yeah, you could use the term. See, we don't think right. Our mind doesn't think right. They're not all saved. Amen. So why wouldn't that be the same out in Christendom? So here when he's trying to get their attention here and bring to their remembrance, and that's kind of what's going on. Paul says a lot about it too. Romans 12, and I probably don't have time to get there. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. We always quote verse 1 and 2 together, but look at verse 2. And be not conformed to this world. Every Christian that gets saved has an issue, has a problem with trying to come out of the world. The world's had such a hold on them. Man, they think they got to look like Hollywood, act like Hollywood. You know, I don't know. You get in certain cultures, they're doing certain things, and they just do it. And so the Bible says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. So there has to be a transforming, and he uses the word renewing, by the renewing of, and guess what he uses? Mind. It's back to the mind again. So when Peter in our little text over here, man, I didn't get far today, did I? He says, I stir up your pure minds. We got so much junk running around in our mind. So here Paul says, by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know what? There's some things you need to check out on. Why are you thinking like that? Why'd you think about that? Why'd you think about that? And brother, when they don't line up with the word of God and they're very carnal and they're very fleshly or very lewd, you need to quit thinking about that. Now, Brother Phil, he's done quit preaching, went to meddling, telling me how to think. I ain't telling you how to think. This book's telling you how to think. Why do you think Peter said of a pure mind? That's because we all think wrong most of the time, thinking the wrong stuff. Me and Brother Tom's talking this morning, man. He was giving me a little quote. You know, we look up into the heavens and say, oh, God, I abhor myself. We're just like Job. You say, well, you guys are preachers. It doesn't matter. We might have more reality concept than you think, man. Well, he said this, I'm just happy to be here, sir. I ain't nobody. and that's where you got to be. Say, what is that? That's a purging of the old mind, and we're trying to have a pure mind so we can think right when the word of God gives us something to think about. I didn't mean this to go into a message here this morning. Yeah, I kind of did, but anyway. They say one of the ways you know you're called to preach is, man, you got to preach, man. I won't go into that. There's about four things there you could learn, but we don't have time. And then I quoted verse 2 in Romans chapter 12, but in verse 16, he says, be of the same mind. Here we go. One toward another. You think everybody that comes to this church on Sunday morning in total agreement with everybody? Well, there are people coming in. What are they doing back there in the back selling that stuff in the church? Look, number one, nobody's selling anything. They're asking for a donation to help support the ministry of the Christian school. Amen. So, and besides that, everybody likes cake and pie, bread. Amen. So be of the same mind one toward another. In other words, just try to get on the same page with everybody else. Try to get on the spiritual page. That'll go miles in a church assembly where people are trying to do things for the Lord. So be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things. And I like what Pastor Jeremiah said, I think it was two Wednesday nights ago, because I missed Wednesday night. We were kind of, didn't it sleet or something at our house? I don't remember. Bonnie seen, yeah. It didn't sleet. She can look outside on a sunshiny day and think it's snowing. But anyway, she's a snow girl. But he said this, and just because you have little outs with somebody and you get that thing right and try to get on the same page, don't mean you got to go eat dinner with them the next day. Amen. So mind not high things. Boy, people, well, I'm just a little better than you. I drive a Cadillac. They just drive a Chevrolet. Well, they're all scrap iron. They're all going to rust down to nothing. So mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. What does that mean? In other words, don't get so high and mighty. Somebody else come in, they may not have the opportunities you have, may not have the money you have, may not have the education or anything else. That don't mean you're better than they are. Amen. God saved your wretched soul just like he saved everybody else's. Amen. So condescend, come down off that just a little bit. Say, what are you saying? Get of the same mindset. It's how you think. Be not wise in your own conceit. There it is again. Most people think, man, I sure am good. Do you see me, man? I got moves like a cat. I got skills that you ain't even said. What are you talking about? You're delusional. You're out of your mind. So be not wise in your own conceit. Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I like that, man. You want to think right? Think right. Think like the Lord. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know what needs to be kept today? Your mind. And then to thinking right, you get your heart right. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. You say, what's that? Brother Phil's telling us how to think today. No, I'm not, but the book's telling you how to think today. Right. You want peace of mind? Think right. You want to go nuts? Keep on thinking the way you're thinking. Verse 2, I'm out of time for sure. Verse 2 in our text, 2 Peter 3, verse 2, that ye be mindful of the words. We're right back to full circle. The book, man, it's the book. People say, well, I don't like your tone, Brother Phil. Well, I'll tell you what, I don't like these words sometimes. But man, they get rough. They'll work on you. And that's what they're supposed to do. That's what church is about. Did you get preached to today? Yeah, I got skinned, man. Well, he skinned me up, rolled my hide up, tanned it, and handed it to me on the way out. Yeah, I've heard all that. So that ye be mindful of the word. And I ain't trying to skin nobody. You know, the best message I ever preached is the ones I preached to myself. Amen. You say, why? I'm a rascal. Not trying to be. I just know. That you be mindful of the words. This is the scripture, the Bible, Old and New Testament. And that verse 3, last days scoffers. Brother, you can preach it straight and you can preach it true, and somebody's still going to come along and scoff. Say, what is that? Well, That's living in a world that ain't yours. That's living on a globe that's full of sin. One of these days we'll get delivered, and we'll develop that thought a little bit more a little later on. And so you got a bonus lesson today. I give you the only four spirits mentioned in the Word of God. Don't forget that. And when you come into church, you're mindful of two things: the Holy Ghost and the devil, who is in total opposition to it, and he'll work on your spirit. And the Holy Spirit's wanting to work on your spirit. So give way to the Holy Spirit of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for a chance to teach. Thank you for a chance to open your book and read from it. Let us think a while for us. Help us to adjust our minds to the right things and think on these heavenly thoughts. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. Amen. Good morning, and God bless you.